This number, before we get on this number one, y'all have seen this many times. I've passed them out many, many, many times. But some of you may not have been able to, may not have seen it before, because I first put this out in the last century, a long time ago. And one of the problems that I am covering all this new material, this material for, I have had a real problem with being certain of something that has helped me to be certain about something else. I taught this a long, long time ago, but quite frankly, it was, I never found anybody else that believed what I did about it. And that bothered me, because you got to explain this thing. And it was the only explanation I ever found, so I will at least go through and show you what these figures mean. Now, we're going to cover some material, and we already have, where we cover the kingdoms. And the kingdom is where the king positions himself. Now, if the king goes into exile, his kingdom becomes the place where he's exiled. But the new king that comes in and replaces him after he's been driven out, he takes over and the kingdom becomes his. I went through and I thought, well, I wonder how many there are around today. Good grief, the kingdom of Jordan, the kingdom of Syria, the kingdom of Turkey. They're actually caliphates, some of those were. But the kingdom of England, kingdom of Scotland, Kingdom of Ireland. I went through and there's a list that long. You say, well, they're not really kings anymore. Yes, they are kings. They just don't have any power. They're just called the King of Scotland, King of Ireland. And so I went through, and that helped me to understand, because you see, back in the time that these prophecies were written, Islam did not even exist. It didn't come into existence until about 500 A.D., somewhere long in there. Well, after Christ was born. And the funny part about Islam is, what was the religion of the descendants of Ishmael and the kings of the East? What was their religion? They were idolaters. They had more gods than Carter's got liver pills. They were pure idolaters. So what happened when Muhammad came along? Muhammad didn't like that. Now remember, Muhammad was born long after Jesus was crucified. And Muhammad based most of his writings on the New Testament and Old Testament. Some of them he just added that were his own ideas, but very few, well, not too many. But the first thing he did was say there's only one God, Allah. Now, he went to the Israelites and tried to unite with them. People don't talk about that very much. I guess there's other things to talk about more important. But he went first to the Israelites, and he wanted to join up with them because they believed in one God. And he wanted to be able to teach that in that land. And they refused him. Well, when they refused him, brother, you better believe he had a tizzy. He wasn't like your pastor, real gentle and easy and everything. He killed people. And your pastor just hadn't been caught at it yet. But the truth of the matter is, that's what happened. So I kept seeing this eighth kingdom. Well, I understood the seventh kingdom. I understood how it was formed. I understood what happened, but what was this eighth kingdom? Well, when you synoptically analyze anything, you take all the different parts and you put them together. And you look at what makes each one different from the other. The Egyptians were the great idolaters. The Syrians were great idolaters. They had many gods. They had one chief god, but they had many gods. They were idolaters. Along came the Babylonians. They were idolaters. They had many different gods, but Nebuchadnezzar was the one that they worshiped most intensely. And then over here you had the Persians. Well, first the Medo-Persians, which included two different empires that merged, and they had many false gods. They had names. There were many of them. And then it came along to the Grecian. They were also idolaters. Now here's the thing about it. You go back and study all of these, every one of them. They had different false gods. They had different false gods. That's important. So they've got something in common. They had different false gods. And this was the empire of this Seleucid Empire. And they worshipped many gods. Then along came the Roman Empire. And the Caesar always was supposed to be the chief god. But they had as many gods as the rest of them. And they did adopt a few of the Greek gods, but they changed their names, and they added a whole lot of different other gods that the Greeks didn't have. So what do all these things have in common? This is the way you synoptically analyze, and when things are written in the Old Testament, I believe the Holy Spirit used this same technique, and he put the things together that were together. Well, what's similar? They were all idolaters. So what happened when God brought Abraham in? Where was he? Ur of the Chaldees. And he actually worshipped the false god of Ur of the Chaldees. His father did. And Abraham was right on the verge of it. And so God separated him. He said, "Head out of here." And he took his father with him. And they went up north with his brothers and his family along the Euphrates River. And there they started. He told Abraham, "Depart this place, go on." And Abraham went south down the Euphrates River on the opposite side of it, came down across on the western side of it. That was the way people always traveled. Nobody went through the Sahara. Nobody went through that barren land. You say, "Well, you'd think there'd be a lot of they'd be able to have a lot of water." No, not really. It was barren desert except for right along the river. And that's where they all clustered along the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. People would go. So people, to get over to Israel, they would go all the way up to Euphrates till it came up to where a river runs out of Syria into it. And then they would cross over into that river. They merged, and they would cross over into it. And then they would go down from the north. You say, "Well, that's an awful long way to go." It was a whole lot better for them. And what I've told you is the fact. You can die out there. I've been there. And you can die out there. And people always took that route. You can go back and check the history of the invasions of Israel, the invasions of tribes to the south, the invasions of Egypt. They always came down from the north. Always. I don't care if they were over there where Iraq is, where Iran is, where Azerbaijan is. I don't care. They always came down that way. Now, so then we come on down to number 7 and number 8. Okay, number 7 and number 8 have something that's totally different from what these others have on the bottom. They had one God. One of them hadn't even come along when Christ was born. His name was Allah Akbar. He didn't come along until Muhammad introduced him to the Jewish world, I think around 500 A.D. And so when he came along, he started this new belief. It's the belief of the Antichrist. And Muhammad was of the Antichrist. And that's why John said, even today there are antichrists in the world. All those caliphs that followed Muhammad made themselves out to be rulers, and they all had only one God, all of them. Allah Akbar. And so those two fit together. The last two empires. I'm going to call them caliphates. I could have called these empires, I could have called them kingdoms, I could have called them anything under the sun. Most of them were called kingdoms up until along came Muhammad. Then they started calling them caliphates after, well, they're late in Muhammad's reign. And then, all of a sudden, here we go. And so I was, after, when I was born, this number seven had already come and gone. You have any trouble with that? Number seven has already come and gone. You say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. Well, was not Muhammad the prophet of Allah Akbar? Was his religion not pure Islam? Well, what happened to that empire that came off in about 500, I think, A.D.? I may have that time wrong, but it was well after Christ was crucified, way on down. But what happened? It vanished. How did it vanish? They overran it from the north. All the tribes of, all the people of Europe, the people of that didn't like it down in the Islamic area, the people that came down, I want to call them the Cyclops, but they're not, but they're actually barbarians that Josephus talked about, the Magogites, the Scythians. They all came down out of Russia. They all came down out of Eastern Europe. They all came down out of Western Europe. And they all came down and they invaded the Islamic caliphates. And pretty soon, they were tame. They were everybody's dog. And pretty soon, the people that got down there saw, man, look at this stuff. Like old Jed Clampett, shot in the ground and pow, up come that oil. And they said, there's oil down here. And so they all just took over all their natural resources. And when that happened, the Arab kings became very prosperous. And it's like Lazarus outside the rich man's door. At least the Europeans at that time, they had a slight fear that if they didn't do something, they wouldn't put up, the Islams wouldn't put up with that. And so they let them get rich. That's what I wrote my first book about. And it's in there. They let them get rich. And I told people in this book, I said, just as soon as they start pulling out of there, they're going to get all the arms. They'll buy them from the very ones that stole the oil from them. And I said, it's in the book. And I followed all that because it fit the Bible. And it's happened, just boom, 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 boom. Not because I'm super or anything. It's because that's the Bible indicated that was going to happen. So when you get down here and you go through all these empires, you can call them anything you want, but I prefer to call the ones down on the bottom kingdoms. And then the ones up on top, the Christian empires, the Christian kingdoms, and the Islamic empire, and the Jewish kingdom. And you got to come down to where you have two left. So when I get over here and I start counting on my fingers, I'm going to count all the way up to eight. Now, you say, well, why do you spend so much time checking these out? God is very meticulous. I discovered that. And the writers, when they wrote, in many cases, you have to figure out, when did Isaiah write? He wrote 700 B.C. When did Daniel write? Isaiah wrote in 700 B.C. Don't you get started over there, Ken, on those kings. He started in 700 B.C. And then after that, Daniel wrote. And Daniel wrote it was around 600 B.C. Pretty close to it. Just a few years difference if it's starting. About 100 years. And so there you had let's look back before that. Okay, when did Daniel write? 600 B.C. When did Ezekiel write? Isaiah write? 700 B.C. When did Daniel write? 600 B.C. Now, let's consider this. There were two great empires, two great kingdoms. You can call them kingdoms or empires. There were two great kingdoms that came along before Daniel, and they were prophesied by the prophets that came before they came into existence. The first one was the great Assyrian Empire. The great Assyrian Empire. Okay. What did it do? It invaded Israel. Well, that's true. It did. And it went all the way down and conquered most of Egypt. And it also almost conquered the city of Jerusalem when Hezekiah was king. And Hezekiah went to the wall and prayed. And the whole nation prayed, "Save us, Lord, save us." And sure enough, God sent a plague. And the plague, you remember the part, but now, tell them about that death angel. There ain't no death angel. It's not in the Bible. And Robert, I learned that from Robert. I'd always called it the death angel. I just didn't even bother to check that out. I thought, that's pretty simple. It's an angel that brings death. So that was good enough, and I didn't tell him a lie. It was a messenger that brought death. But in any case, down came the angel, and believe it or not, he went ahead and he sent a plague on, how come you always give me these answers, and when I'm going to ask you so I can look smart, you just say, wah, 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 wah. Lord have mercy. Hey, coach, you got any more subs out there? So it was Sennacherib. Before him was Shalmaneser. Before him was Sargon the Magnificent. Before him was...
it was two. There's two or three Sargons.
Well, we got to have some diversity in here. You notice what old Donald does. He lies and then undoes it. I'm real good at that.
But I like that guy's name. That's the first.
What?
Tiglath-Pileser.
Yeah, he was the first one over there. There was one the guy before him.
His daddy.
Thank you, Ken.
You're welcome.
The Egyptians were the first ones that ever affected Israel. Now remember, God called Jacob out. He called Abraham and Jacob out of the land that was to be their inheritance and took them down into Egypt, and he used Joseph as his instrument. They stayed down there a long, long, long time. Think of all those Egyptian gods down there. Lord, you had... I can draw you pictures of most of them. I've looked at them so much, but there they were. You say, you mean God would send them into a bunch of heathens that worshipped gold idols? Yeah. But you notice what he did with Israel? He knew that the Egyptians hated shepherds. They couldn't stand shepherds. Oh, Remember that one was dead alongside the road? Or that was a mule, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, the Egyptians actually hated shepherds. Not them, but being around them. They didn't do like we did with our dog over here. They didn't rush that around and wash it. Those things wandered around out there. Why? Some people thought they were black at times till they'd go through a deep river and they'd have to swim over. And they were flat. There were fat-tailed sheep, and their bottom was covered up over all the time, so you couldn't smell them too bad. So the first thing I always look for if I'm going by a bunch of sheep, are they just normal sheep with normal tails, or do they have flat tails? But they stored all the fat in their flat tails. They were very broad, about that broad and about that thick. And they stored all the fat in there, and if they got all the time, and fat had water in it, they got out in a place where there wasn't any water, they could live off their tails for a while. Okay, now, you know about delivered from Egyptian bondage. So the Pharaoh finally showed up, and it said, "Who knew not Joseph?" And boy, that's when Israel's trouble began. And that's when God had the Egyptians drive them out. God hardened his heart, but Pharaoh made him harden it. The fact that God knew what he was going to do in advance was based on foreknowledge. Not on predestination, where he said, "I'm going to send that Pharaoh to hell." God knows everything there is to know about me, and he knows everything there is to know about you. And thank God that he accepted me anyway because of the blood of Christ and because of the sacrifice of Christ and the tearing of his flesh. Now, the next one was the Assyrian. And they had all kind of gods. The main god at first was Ashur. Now, he was one of the grandsons of, I can't remember, I think Magog, may not have been, I can't, well, okay, Ken, now I'm going to call on you.
I don't know about that. You're
off. Okay, I know who it was. It was... Anyway, he was their first god. And this is the Assyrian god. And then there followed the Babylonian god of Nebuchadnezzar. Then the number four was the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Medes were meaner than the Persians. But there weren't a whole lot of them, so the Persians eventually whipped them, and it became one empire, the Persian Empire. And then there was the Grecian Empire, and they had all kind of false gods. Diana, the Grecian Assyrian god. Just the Grecian god. And then you went on over, and then it split into four divisions of the Alexandrian kingdom. The leopard was Alexander. He was of the king of Macedonia. He was also known as the kingdom of Grecia, Macedonia. Then we have the four divisions of the Alexandria Empire. One of them was Thrace. The other was Greece. The other was the northern part of Turkey that extended all the way down into the northern Israeli border. And that was the Seleucid Kingdom. It was the biggest of the three. And so they were up in the north, and the last kingdom was the Ptolemaic kingdom that started at the northern border of Israel, and we'll be covering some of that before I'm finished here tonight. And the thing that I want to impress upon you, and Ken wants to impress upon you, is not how well we know these kings, but how meticulous and how painstaking God was to make all this fit together. This wasn't child's play. Men couldn't have put this together. It was God that directed them to put this together. And he had one motivation: love. He loved man. Okay. Then we had the Roman Empire. The God, main God was the Caesar, and before that it was a child born of male and female wolf, but they were human. So they were all messed up, except Israel. They had one God. His name was Jehovah. And they always had one God. And whenever they got away from that one God, God would punish them for it. But Muhammad saw that, and he said, man, this is great. And New Testament was completed, absolutely completed, and canonized. And Muhammad read it. And when he read it, he just adopted their names out of there, changed things around to suit himself. How do you know? I can show you direct quotes out of the Bible in there that he used. You'd be surprised. Most of the New Testament is stuff Muhammad wrote with just a little shift in the verbs. And that makes all the difference in the world. Just a little shift in the indirect objects. But it's the same scripture. But he had some others on there, and he was going to go along with he wanted to be a great man. And along with the Jews. He believed the Jews, but they wouldn't accept him. You know why? And Muhammad just didn't understand, but he was, I believe, possessed of the devil. And I believe that the Islamic faith is of the devil. And I believe it's the spirit of Antichrist. And I think that these people, you're not supposed to call people fools, so I'm not going to venture into that game. But I'm telling you, these people that are following along with this and trying to justify the Islamic faith and saying that we want moderates. Oh, I got good news. Moderates kill people. They say, how about some good old liberals? They don't kill as many people. Oh, that's great. We'll just deal with them because they don't kill as many people. They don't chop as many heads off. They are all of the devil. Now they may listen. I've gone in this country and I've dined with them. They're charming people. We've had long discussions, and I've sat at their table with them out in California. And some of the people out there were trying to convince me of what great people they were. And I didn't want to insult them. So I would ask them questions. If you know, they'd ask me questions, I'd ask them. And I would ask them questions where, since they didn't know a whole lot about what we believe, they would give an answer that wouldn't suit these people that had taken me over there to eat with them. And I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't answer back. I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't do anything. But this is a deadly thing. You know, the Antichrist is the devil was created perfect by God. And he was put over creation. There is no doubt that he was put over creation. No doubt whatsoever in my mind that God put Lucifer over creation. Nor is there any doubt in my mind that he created Gabriel to be a messenger angel, because he knew in advance what the devil would do. You say, well, that's Calvinism. No, that's not Calvinism. That's foreknowledge. And he created Michael as the mightiest of angels. Yeah, he put the devil over all creation. But Michael was loyal to him. Michael made a choice. He sealed in it. Gabriel made a choice. He sealed in it. That sweet little girl that followed Paul and Sardis around Corinth and said, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." You say, well, how could that have been wrong? It wasn't wrong. They were the servants of the Most High God. But false teachers can be transformed as angels of light and make people think they are straight from God. And some of the people like me are so loud and obnoxious, you'd think we came from the devil. So it's just that's the way the world is, and you have to learn to deal with it. But in any case, that's where all this came up to. Now the seventh one, and I'll be going through more of this as I go through it and mention it to you, but the seventh one was the one that's going to be coming up, and that's why I'm going back through all this again. This is from the last century that I did these, so It's all worked out. You'll be happy to know this is all worked out. And it wasn't worked out. It hasn't come to be fulfilled like because I said it would, but because God said it would. So I'm sitting here, and the reason I'm going back through it, and the reason I've been so hot and heavy on this lately, is because we are about to see the good old fellow named Bashar Assad up here in Syria. We are about to see him up in Syria be replaced. I don't know exactly how. I think he'll be assassinated. That might not look too good. But I know that Putin and the Ayatollah Khomeini, they are not going to let him stay in power. So here's what's going to happen, and you can look for this. Our president has the rest of this year and unofficially up till February the 17th, but of next year. However, as far as official is occurring, since they've changed all that around up there so much, he's got the rest of this year. When Bashar Assad is replaced, I think he'll be assassinated, but I really can't say that for sure. But they're not going to let him set it. They're not going to let him rule Syria. And if you notice, they are talking about peace. And everybody says, it won't work, it won't work, it won't work. It will to suit the purposes of the Antichrist and to suit the purposes of the Scriptures, which God wrote through his foreknowledge. Something's going to have to be done to stop that. They have killed 250,000 people in Syria. Right now, the Soviet Union is directly involved. So is the United States. China's going to be drug into it. And I don't think, I don't think they'll need the North Koreans. But I think they'll supply them with an awful lot of thermonuclear weapons, which I don't think they'll ever use. If you were living in this world and you were one of those leaders over there, I don't care how crazy you are, except maybe for North Korea and North Korea, if they were to send something at us, there wouldn't be anything left, not even the match that lit it. Within a matter of hours. That was true even when I was in the service. And the one thing that Bashar Assad keeps counting on, he keeps counting on the fact that it's going to change. It's not going to change. And they're not going to. You won't have a real peace. But you've got to have a peace. And that's why I put out that little chart, showing what was going to happen from the time that Israel attacked to the very end of the second atonement, the second advent of Jesus Christ. I started it right there when Israel attacks. I had a reason for doing that. I was extremely confident, almost positive in my heart, that I had it right after that, but I wasn't sure about before that. Well, some things have been happening over there lately, and I'm sure of it now, and I think that God's given me a handle on this thing. And so when we come back, we'll start off on where we left off, and this is the chart. And I have been putting this out for a long time. It's about to happen. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, what's your real reason for doing this? What is it, Ken?
So we can get closer to the Lord.
No, Ken. Oh. So I can get more rewards for you persecuting me.